NASA and Congress streamline the Commercial Crew program. SpaceX may pursue military contracts. And the UK's Manchester Airport is out of gas? This is Aero News for Thursday, June 7th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Representative Frank Wolf, Republican of Virginia and chairman of the House Commerce, Justice, Science Appropriations Subcommittee, said on Tuesday that he has reached an agreement with NASA Administrator Charles Bolden regarding the future of the Commercial Crew Program. In essence, Wolf and Bolden agreed that the objective of the Commercial Crew Program is to get back for NASA the domestic capacity to deliver astronauts to the International Space Station, and not the development of a commercial space industry. In that regard, NASA has agreed to cut back from 4 to 2.5 awards in its Commercial Crew Integrated Capability Program. The move is designed to reduce taxpayer exposure by, quote, concentrating funds on those participants who are most likely to be chosen to eventually provide service to the ISS, end quote. The congressman said NASA had assured him that it will carefully examine Commercial Crew participants' financial health and viability before providing CCI cap funds and ensure the government's first right of refusal to acquire property developed under or acquired as part of the Commercial Crew Program at a price that reflects the taxpayer's existing investment in its development. Wolf says space is the ultimate high ground for our nation and will play an increasingly critical role in our national security and economic growth in the 21st century. He added, quote, given recent advances in space capabilities by foreign competitors, it is essential that the U.S. move quickly to restore its domestic crew access to the International Space Station and focus on the successful completion of our unique exploration systems, including the Space Launch System and Orion Crew Vehicle, end quote. The successful flight of a Falcon 9 rocket and Dragon capsule to the International Space Station may open the door for the launch of military satellites by SpaceX, a goal said to be more elusive than flying cargo for NASA. Three successful flights are one of the criteria used by the Pentagon in evaluating potential launch services for its hardware. Currently, United Launch Alliance is the only private company that launches military satellites into space. But Reuters reports that Air Force spokeswoman Tracy Bunco said in an email that there are multiple paths to certification by the Pentagon for military launch contracts. While new spacecraft can be considered, it, quote, depends on the risk assessment of the mission, end quote, wrote Bunco. SpaceX is not likely to intrude on ULA's military launch business in the near term, but NOAA and the U.S. Air Force did put a contract for the launch of a new solar observatory out for bids. SpaceX already has a contract for up to 12 cargo flights to ISS for NASA, as well as 28 other launches for a variety of customers, including foreign governments. It also hopes to be able to carry humans to the ISS in the not-too-distant future, though that opportunity could be impacted by the new agreement between NASA and Congressman Wolf noted earlier. Well, we've all experienced those desperate moments when we realize we really shouldn't have passed up that last gas station and hope there's another one just around the bend. And if not, well, there's always AAA. But what happens when an airport runs out of fuel? That was the case all day Wednesday, and it could continue into today at Manchester Airport, the third busiest airport in the UK. The issue is with fuel supplies from the Stanlow refinery, which were disrupted due to concerns about quality. The facility, which is run by SR Energy, has a direct pipeline to the airport that can pump 66,000 gallons per hour. The airport uses about 793 million gallons of fuel daily, and replenishment via pipeline takes about 8 hours. Tanker trucks carrying 10,000 U.S. gallons would mean a convoy of 79 vehicles to bring in enough fuel just for one day's operations. While a supply of fuel is maintained at the airport, the airlines were being told to load on extra fuel whenever possible. There were delays on Wednesday, especially on long-haul flights, and the airport has apologized to travelers. It's the first time in history that the airport has run out of gas. The NTSB has made new safety recommendations stemming from the investigation of a 2010 runway incursion in Wyoming. On December 29, 2010, at about 11:38 Mountain Standard Time, American Airlines Flight 2253, a Boeing 757-200, ran off the departure end of runway 19 during light snow after landing at Wyoming's Jackson Hole Airport. The ensuing investigation found that the aircraft's speed brakes had not automatically deployed and that both the captain and first officer failed to notice this, as they were distracted by dealing with an almost simultaneous anomaly in the thrust reversers. They were deployed some 18 seconds late, and subsequently the plane continued to run off the end of the runway. As a result of the investigation, the NTSB made the following new safety recommendations to the FAA. 1. Require that all transport category air carriers develop and incorporate training to address recognition of a situation in which the speed brakes do not deploy as expected after landing. 2. Require all newly type-certificated air transport category airplanes to have an oral or otherwise unique alert that warns pilots that the speed brakes have not deployed during the landing roll. And 3. Require Boeing to establish guidance for pilots of all relevant airplanes to follow when an unintended thrust reverser lockout occurs, and to provide that guidance to all operators of those airplanes. In an effort to draw major aviation companies and potential buyers to South Florida, Miami-Dade's Beacon Council sent a request to the Air Force for the use of the runway at Homestead Air Force Base for a commercial aviation expo. The purpose of the event was to bring potential buyers from all over the Western Hemisphere to South Florida, where the companies would show off their airplanes. The Air Force said, no. The taxpayer-funded Economic Development Organization appealed that answer, took it right up the chain to the Pentagon. The answer, this time from the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, no. The Miami Herald reports that in a letter dated May 30th, Panetta said, quote, as you know, the department is facing a difficult budget environment, and while your goal is undoubtedly worthwhile, we are simply not in a position to devote resources in playing a central role in a commercial endeavor of this nature, end quote. Beacon Council President Frank Nero said the letter was confusing, since most of the expo was planned for county-owned property adjacent to the base. Nero said he did not think the government would incur any cost as a result of the expo. This decision, however, does not affect the Homestead Air Show. When Aero News continues, the NTSB aids a Nigerian investigation. Briscoe Field, Georgia will remain non-commercial. And swing, batter, swing.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, June 7th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The NTSB is dispatching an investigator to assist the government of Nigeria in its investigation of the crash of a Dana Air Boeing MD-83 airplane, flight number 0992. On June 3rd, the airplane, en route from Abuja to Lagos, Nigeria, crashed outside of the airport into a two-story building. All 153 passengers and crew on board were fatally injured, and an undetermined number of ground fatalities and injuries also occurred. As the state of design and manufacture of the Boeing MD-83, the NTSB has designated Senior Aviation Accident Investigator Mr. Dennis Jones as the traveling U.S. accredited representative. Jones will be assisted from NTSB headquarters by investigative staff specializing in operational factors, power plants, and airworthiness, as well as advisors from the FAA, Boeing, and Pratt & Whitney. The investigation is being conducted by the Nigerian Accident Investigation Bureau, which will release all future information. The Gwinnett County, Georgia Board of Commissioners on Tuesday unanimously rejected a proposal to bring commercial service to Briscoe Field in Lawrenceville, Georgia. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that over 300 people attended the meeting, and most cheered the board's vote. New York-based Propeller Investments had hoped to begin flights from Lawrenceville to New York, Chicago, and other destinations, bringing up to 20 daily passenger flights to Briscoe Field. Plans included building 10 gates and extending the airport's 6,000-foot runway. Propeller also guaranteed Gwinnett County at least $500,000 in revenue annually. In the end, a staff review found that Propeller's proposal was lacking critical financial information and other important details. The debate, often contentious, has been raging for over 2 years now over the fate of the airport. In the end, Propeller's managing director, Brett Smith, told the commissioners, quote, You wasted a lot of people's money, end quote. Well, NASA will mark the 100th anniversary of the Girl Scouts of America by hosting a Girl Scouts Rock at NASA. The event is from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on June the 8th in the James E. Webb Memorial Auditorium, located at NASA headquarters in Washington. NASA's Deputy Administrator Lori Garver and two former astronauts, Heidi Marie Stephanie Shin Piper and Pam Melroy, will participate. NASA and the Girl Scouts share a common goal to encourage and educate young girls about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics in exciting and innovative ways. The Girl Scouts began in 1912 with only 18 girls. Today, there are 3.2 million girls and adults who are members. In 100 years, the organization has graduated more than 59 million women in the United States. The Girl Scouts Rock at NASA program will cover aeronautics, science, and exploration. Attendees will learn about NASA's missions and careers from scientists and other invited guests and have opportunities to experience hands-on interactive displays. Well, assuming we make it through December and the end of the world, according to the Mayan calendar at least, scientists have already given us another scenario to lose sleep over. NASA astronomers announced Thursday they can now predict with certainty the next major cosmic event to affect our galaxy, sun, and solar system, and that will be the Titanic collision of our Milky Way galaxy with the neighboring Andromeda galaxy. It seems the Milky Way is destined to get a major makeover during the encounter, which is predicted to happen 4 billion years from now. It is likely, however, that the sun will be flung into a new region of our galaxy, but they say our Earth and solar system are not in danger of being destroyed. The scenario is like a baseball batter watching an oncoming fastball. Although Andromeda is approaching us more than 2,000 times faster, it will still take 4 billion years before the strike. Swing, batter, swing! Swing, batter, swing! Oh, the heck with it. Anybody want some nachos? That's Aero News for today. Thanks, as always, for logging in and listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.